mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. For this reason, I'm reminded and remind you to rekindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and discipline. This morning, as we know, is Mother's Day. This message isn't just for mothers. All of us can apply these principles to our lives. But it's a day that we set aside to honor our moms. It's a special day. For some, it's a day filled with all different kinds of emotions because of the special relationship that you have with your mother, or maybe the strained relationships that you have with your mother. And I just looked at that this morning, and it says, no, I've gone 4 months before. Not this time. So, excuse me. But it's a day that if there's a strained relationship with a mother, it needs to be fixed. Any strained relationships need to be taken care of in a Christian's life. For some, the word mother conjures up different images. June Cleaver, complete with the lace apron, the pearls, singing lullabies, baking brownies, kissing away beaver's tears. Still others envision maybe Irma Bombeck, that type, who drives around in a wood-paneled station wagon and whose hobby is dust. You know, and still for others, younger generation, those models weren't so good. People like Roseanne and others that people have fed their minds on, and others, the bad examples set by Hollywood, the bad examples that come out from social media and all the other things. But whatever type, no matter what you think, a mother has influence. A mother has influence. For better or for worse, she'll forever impact the life of her family, of her children. Abraham Lincoln was right when he said, no one is poor who has a godly mother. And so as we think of that, God has given mankind mothers to nurture, to care, to train those under her care. Real mothers, not what we're seeing crop up today in our society of warpedness and sickness, of the insanity that they're trying to push, but real mothers. God created a man and a woman. He created a male and a female. He gave to families husbands and wives. And so he thought so highly of mothers that he brought his own son into the world by way of a mother. The love, the care, the tenderness, the teaching example helps shape the little lives under her care, if she's godly. And if she's not, then we need to pray for them and ask the Lord to help them to get to that point. But there's no doubt not all mothers have fit that description or fulfilled their responsibilities in a way they should. They've made choices that didn't just affect them, but affects their entire family. Then there are some families where the mom has been taken through death, maybe early in life, maybe later in life, and her influence is missing. This will be the first Mother's Day that both my wife and my mothers are gone. My mom passing away just a few months ago. And so it's kind of weird in a way. You think, well, I got to call my mom and it's Mother's Day. What are we going to get her for Mother's Day? And she's got the best gift of all. She's up there with Jesus and all of her loved friends. And so, but sometimes there's things that make this day hard on people. Despite the situations that you grew up with, each of us still needs to choose how we are going to live our lives. And for the Christian, that means you choose to bring glory to God, not blame your past. We see a lot of people blaming, well, if I only had different parents, if I only had a different mother, if I only had a different father, Own up to it, accept your responsibility, do your thing, and make sure you make the wise choices. You see, without rehearsing all that's going wrong in our nation and how far we've drifted from some of the traditional models in our families, I want to present a positive challenge to the people who shape our hearts and our future and the generations to come, and that's the moms. And again, these same principles can apply to all of us. But each of us today has a role in helping mom become what God has in mind for her, a role in helping our wives to be what they should be. But there's a caution that needs to be given. There's some things that come up that are like this: what not to buy your wife on Mother's Day. Although they're probably the only person that a man will shop for is his wife, the whole experience, and I'm not sure who wrote this, but he was right on, the whole experience can be very stressful. Many a man has felt extreme frigid temperatures for a long period based on poor gift decisions. As a veteran of these wars, this guy said, I'm still not sure what to buy my wife, but I'll pass on you what not to buy. Don't buy anything that plugs in. Anything that requires electricity is seen as utilitarian. Don't buy clothes that involve sizes. The chances are 1 in 7,000 that you'll get her size right, and your wife will be offended by the other 6,999. Do I look like a size 16? She'll say. Too small a size doesn't cut it either. I haven't worn a size 8 in 20 years. Avoid all things useful. The new silver polish that you bought that was advertised on TV, that'll save hours in polishing everything up. They're not going to earn you any brownie points. Don't buy anything that involves weight loss or self-improvement. She'll perceive a six-month membership to a diet center as a suggestion that she's overweight. Don't buy jewelry. The jewelry your wife wants, you can't afford. And the jewelry you can afford, she doesn't want. And don't buy her lingerie because the kind you think she wants to wear isn't what she wants. And finally, don't spend too much because you'll hear, how do you think we're going to afford that? Or she'll ask, if you spend too little, she will say, well, I'm not worth very much, am I? Well, there are some gifts that we can give, and I'm going to get to that in just a second. But I want to draw your attention, your thoughts, to the cross of Christ, the crucifixion, when Jesus was on that cross. He spoke seven times from the cross. His first words were a prayer to God, asking, Father, forgive them, asking for that forgiveness of those that were literally taking his life, or they thought they were taking it. He was offering it up. But as he gave his life for us, he asked them to forgive him. The second words were his promise to the dying thief. When he says, the thief says, remember me today. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. The third word that he spoke was to his mother. Think about it. His mother was there with John, beloved disciple. In John chapter 19, if you have your Bibles, verses 26 and 27, it says, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple he loved standing there, he said to his mother, woman, here's your son. And he said to the disciple, here's your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his house. Think about it. Where else would the mother be? Even though Jesus was on that cross, even though there was a threat of the Romans, she was there when her son was on that cross. And he took the time. Picture it. Three heavy laden crosses stand on Calvary's Hill. Jesus, the Son of God, on the central one. The mobs are jeering and making all kinds of gestures. The soldiers gambling for his clothes. The religious leaders are rejoicing. Jesus looks down and he sees his mother standing near the cross. And he takes the time. And by her side is that disciple John, the one that Jesus loved. And he says, as he lifts up his voice, woman, and woman, that's not a disrespectful thing. That was the way they were addressed back then. That was very respectful when he said woman. It wasn't like, well, he didn't treat his mother very well. No, that's what was done. Woman, here's John. Look at him. From now on, he's going to be your son. And he spoke to John. John, You're going to take care of her. She's now your mother. Jesus lived a full life. He discharged fully his duties, both to man and especially to God. He was willing to die and not leave anything undone that he ought to do. And so he arranged for his mother's future. And here we see Jesus setting a wonderful example to all of us. When God gave us the Ten Commandments, and he listed those things that are not out of date and are not relics. They're not something that belongs in a museum. They belong back in our public eye where people can see them and read them. And maybe if they read them, they'll do them. And so in that 12th verse of Exodus 20, he says, "Honor your father and your mother so that you may have a long life in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." Honor them, he says. Make sure that that honor's there. And if you turn to Ephesians chapter 6, we see Paul, as he admonishes us in the first two verses there in Ephesians. In verses 1 and 2, he says, "Children, obey your parents as you would the Lord, because this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise." And so even in the darkest hour of his life, Jesus stopped long enough to do the right thing concerning his mother. Here he is on the cross, bearing the weight of the sins of the whole world and the guilt of everyone. And that was on his shoulders, and he takes time to make sure that his mother is taken care of. So as God, Jesus is dealing with eternal matters. But as a man, he's showing us today how important it is to take care and honor your mother. So I want to share some things this morning, what to give your mother or your wife on Mother's Day. And so this list, we need God's help in our lives to make sure we do those things and to grow into those things so that we do them right. And the first thing is that we need to give her affirmation. You need to give her affirmation. You may think, "I don't need to tell her I love her. She knows I love her." I've used this statement before. I think of my father-in-law's where I heard it the first time, where he was telling somebody, you know, don't be like the husband who said, "I told her I loved her when we got married, and if I change my mind, I'll let her know," kind of a thing. That's not affirmation. That's not what we need. Or, "I don't have to say I love her because I show it. I show that I love her." Well, that's good and true, but women in general still need verbal affirmation. They need to hear what you say. They need to hear that you love them. So every time you see your mother, your wife, every time before you say goodbye, make sure you say and leave those words with them, "I love you." Who knows if that may not be the last thing they remember you saying? Because our futures are not guaranteed, are they? Children need to hear it. Spouses need to hear it. When you affirm your wife or your mother, you are giving value to them, the value that they need and deserve. This is why the way that the Lord treats us. We don't deserve anything, do we? But his anger and wrath, but he gives us instead his grace, his love, and his mercy. He set the example on how we should treat each other. To affirm each other is always the goal. Uplifting, upbuilding, encouraging, way more than anything else. You know, I think I forget the actual statistic, but if you're going to criticize about something, it says there should be 5 or 6 times more praise than there is the correction or the criticism that you're giving. And so we need to make sure that we're not lacking in this area of affirmation. We all need it. Today we focus on our moms, our wives. They need it because of the nature of their responsibilities, which are often unrecognized and can easily be criticized or taken for granted. Secondly, give her affection. Who doesn't like affection? Affection's needed. Moms, wives, we all need affection. And Jesus, in John chapter 15, in verses 12 through 14, he makes this statement. He says, "This is my command, love one another as I have loved you. No one has a greater love than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. And so the scriptures teach us that love is to be shown as well as said with everyone you have contact with. I want to share an illustration. I've used it before, but I love this illustration because it shows the power of somebody who affirms, somebody who loves, somebody who gives. It was a young child named Ted Stollard. You know, he qualifies as one of the least that we sometimes think of. He was turned off by school, very sloppy in appearance, very expressionless, unattractive. Even his teacher, Miss Thompson, enjoyed bearing down with her red pen as she placed an X beside the wrong answers. If she had only studied his records more carefully, because this is how they read, first grade, Ted shows promise with his work and attitude, but has a poor home situation. Second grade, Ted could do better. Mother seriously ill, receives little help from home. Third grade, Ted is a good boy, but too serious. He's a slow learner. His mother died this year. Fourth grade, Ted is very slow, but well-behaved. His father shows no interest whatsoever. Christmas arrived. The children came and they piled elaborate wrapped gifts on the teacher's desk. And Ted brought one too. It was wrapped in brown paper and it was held together with scotch tape. Miss Thompson opened each gift as the children crowded around to watch. Out of Ted's package fell a gaudy rhinestone bracelet with half of the stones missing, and a bottle of cheap perfume. The children began to snicker, but she silenced them by splashing on some of the perfume on her wrist and letting them smell it, and then she put the bracelet on. At day's end, after the children had left, Ted came to the teacher's desk and said, "Miss Thompson, you smell just like my mother, and the bracelet looks real pretty on you. I'm glad you like my presence." And then he left. Miss Thompson got down on her knees and asked God to forgive her and to change her attitude. The next day, the children greeted a reformed teacher, one committed to loving each of them, especially the slow ones, especially Ted. Surprisingly, or maybe not surprisingly, Ted began to show great improvement. He actually caught up with most of the students and even passed some. Time came and went. Miss Thompson heard nothing from Ted for a long time. Then one day she received this note. "Dear Miss Thompson, I wanted you to be the first to know. I'll be graduating second in my class. Love, Ted." 4 years later, another note arrived. "Dear Miss Thompson, they just told me I'll be graduating first in my class. I wanted you to be the first to know. The university's not been easy, but I liked it. Love, Ted." 4 years later, "Miss Thompson, dear Miss Thompson, as of today, I am Theodore Stallward, M.D. How about that? I wanted you to be the first to know. Getting married next month, the 27th to be exact. And I want you to come sit where my mother would sit if she were alive. You're the only family I have. Dad passed away last year." Miss Thompson attended that wedding, sat where Ted's mother would have sat. The compassion she had shown that young man entitled her that privilege. So let's have some real courage and start giving to one of the least, like Jesus did and said. He may become a Ted Stollard. Even if it doesn't happen, he will still have been, you have been faithful to the one who's always treated us as unworthy as we are. He treated us as very special people. You see, love can be shown in so many different ways and actions. The things you say and the way you say them. It can be shown in extra things that aren't expected as we do them for the people we love. Love is often spoken and said from the heart, not just from habit. It's easy to get in the habit of just saying something, but it comes from the heart is where it matters. Jesus said, "Love is demonstrated as laying down your life for someone." That may mean more than just dying for them. The chances are of dying for somebody are slim. You may have to, but they're a lot slimmer than it would be for us to do things that we'd rather not but we do them anyways. Helping when you'd rather not. Being there when you'd rather not. The giving of yourself to the one you love is what our wives and our moms need. Thirdly, give her acknowledgement. Never take your wife, never take your mother for granted. Well, it's just their job to do all these things, so I should just expect it, right? Clean clothes, good food, on time, just done right, clean house, my needs met, etc. That attitude's wrong, that attitude is sinful, and that attitude does not honor God. They need to be acknowledged for who they are, for who God made them, and for all the selfless things that they do. A mother, someone said, is a person who, seeing that there are only 4 pieces of pie for 5 people, promptly announces she didn't really care for pie. You ever notice that? I have. To take someone for granted is really an insult to them and a sin. Abraham Lincoln wasn't afraid to acknowledge his mother. He said, "I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life." And I saw an advertisement the other day. Couldn't believe it. Hockey players. Hockey players are known to what? Be tough. I mean, they're out there. If you've watched a hockey game, you know, somebody said, I think my wife made the statement, they went to a fight and a hockey game broke out. But literally, hockey players are tough. And when your goal in life is to win the Stanley Cup. And of course, everybody wants to hoist the Stanley Cup. And the advertisement says, never lift the Stanley Cup without your mother at your side. And then it showed moms from different players as they lifted that cup. You think about that, your mom. You know, what an awesome challenge and opportunity moms have in praying for their children, giving them an example that they need to see. And we need to make sure that we acknowledge them for all that they do, all the selfless hours that they invest in us. Fourthly, give her attention. Here again is an area that we often neglect, not always in a hurtful way, but just sometimes because we're not thinking. Wives and mothers need our attention. I think it's harder maybe, and I may be wrong, but I think it's harder sometimes for a son to give some of the attention to his mom as he grows older than it might be for a daughter. Just a different chemistry there, I don't know. But it seems like as guys, it's not that we don't appreciate, but we don't show the appreciation like we should. We don't say sometimes the things we should and the way we should do those things. I can remember times when my wife would say, "Have you called your mom lately?" And I'd say, "No, I haven't. I forgot or I got busy." And then she would remind me to do that. And sometimes it would be like, "Well, you know, that's really bugging me." But she was right. She was right. And as my mom got older, it got frustrating because I would remember to call her, but then she would never answer her phone. And so it was like, I'm trying to call her, but she's not answering her phone because she lost it or she can't find it or something else. But we need to show that attention. And again, it's the little things, like a phone call, that shows that you care. It gives them the attention that they need and deserve. So the same goes for our wives. The same goes for everyone. They need attention, not just when something's wrong, not just when something needs to be fixed, not just when we want something for ourselves, but we need to show them that we care. Think of the ways that you can give your wife or give your mom the attention they deserve. When talking to her, give her your undivided attention. Listen closely for the things that she says and the things they don't say. Because sometimes the things that aren't said speak more loudly than the things that are said. Be sensitive to see. Are they tired? Are they stressed? Are they troubled about something? And offer to help out. Remember, we're on the same team. When you're married, you're one in spirit. You're one. The two become one flesh. Plus, you're on the team called family. The last gift is to give her appreciation. Appreciation. Someone wrote this. It says, It may be that praise, like gold and diamonds, owes its value to its scarcity. As Samuel Johnson said, But most of us would prefer to err on the side of giving too much praise than too little. One who would agree was the wife of an old Vermonter named Eb. Old Eb was, like many of his breed, rather stingy with words. He said very little, and then rather grudgingly, he would say them. But one evening he was sitting on the front porch with his wife, the long day's work behind them, a good supper, peaceful sights and sounds of dusk must have softened him up a little bit. He took his pipe out of his mouth and he said, "When I think of what you've meant to me all these years, Judith, sometimes it's almost more than I cannot tell you." He had his way of putting things. So much could be said about this, but every one of us sitting here this morning needs to be appreciated. We want to know that we're appreciated. To show appreciation means to grasp the nature and the worth and the value or the significance of someone. Here, of course, we're thinking of mothers, a Mother's Day, but it can be the same thing for dads, for husbands, for sons, for daughters. We need to see that appreciation. Thanking them and letting them know that you're aware of and are grateful for all that they do and all that they mean to you. Paul starts many of his epistles by thanking God for those people that he's writing to and letting them know how much he appreciates them. We need to do the same. Take absolutely nothing for granted. Value. See the worth of your wife. See the worth of your mother. See the worth of each person in your family and everyone else that God brings into your life. What a difference it'll make to a person when they know that they're appreciated. It changes attitudes and it affects every situation that we encounter. Never let a day go by that you don't express your appreciation and thanks to God and then to your family. These gifts are priceless. They need to be given not just on a special day, but every day. They need to be given in abundance, not scarcely. They need to be accompanied by real, true love. So we say a big thanks to you wives and mothers today, because this is the day set aside to honor you. And may God bless you for who you are and for all that you do.